I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Last week, while she was in town to launch her latest book, Trickster Drift, I had opportunity to talk to Eden Robinson again. She's a masterful storyteller at the height of her career with this book, the second in a trilogy. The first book, Son of a Trickster, was shortlisted for the Giller Prize last year. It won numerous awards and sold well. Trickster Drift follows young Jared as he's now quit drugs and drinking, but still contends with the spirits around him, the ghosts, and of course the trickster in his head. We also talk about the other people around Jared, his relationships with family and the sort. I get Ms. Robinson to tell us about her book, as well as the film version of Monkey Beach, just wrapping up production in northern British Columbia. Trickster Drift is published by Knopf. Please welcome back to the Plant on the Line program, Eden Robinson. Ms. Robinson, good morning.
Good morning.
So it's so nice to talk to you because I had such fun talking to you last year when the first book came out. And after that book came out, I mean, it was just a whirlwind year for you, wasn't it?
Yes, that was crazy.
It was a good crazy, though, wasn't it?
It was a good crazy.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many people I would read on Twitter or Facebook talk about how happy they were every time you got nominated for something.
Aww.
So there must be great. I mean, did you feel that the great affection that people have for you in this country?
I did. That was just one of the warmest realizations I've had.
And so, because writing is such a solitary process. To come out into to say this thing, the publicity tour, if you will, and get the affection and the adulation from the public. I mean, that must be, I don't know, odd, if you will.
Yes, I usually, you know, in my hometown, people know that I'm writing, but they don't have a, you know. It's not a big subtopic of conversation, so
yeah.
So the response to Son of a Trickster was not at all what I was expecting, and it was wonderful.
And it must be great now for fans of that first book to have this. I mean, when this book hit my desk, I couldn't wait to get into it. And then I forgot, you know, where Jared was and what was happening in his life. So when we meet Jared again, he's 17. He's been sober for how long?
About a year.
A year, yeah. And so, at the same time, so I started reading the book again, and the Trickster Drift, I should say. And then, you know, I remembered aspects of him, and he's a teenager, but he's not your typical teenager in a way.
Yeah.
For people listening to us who haven't, say, read the first book and are interested about the second one, by the way, you don't have to read the first one to get into this one, right?
No.
What's his personality like?
Well, you know, after his parents divorced, they both got onto some very hard paths. And so Jared became more of a caretaker for them, and it kind of transferred towards the rest of his life. That was the pattern he developed. And I don't know if you can hear it, but the traffic outside the hotel is very angry.
That's the city for you, unfortunately.
There is a chorus of honking.
Yeah. You don't get that in Kitimat, do you?
No.
Yeah.
Well, not yet.
Well, hopefully not, yeah. It's a charming place you live in, and I would hate to think that would be, well, I mean, they're building condos everywhere now. I'd hate to think that.
Well, we're about to have a boom. So the last time we had a boom,
yeah,
traffic went a bit nuts.
So, the thing that struck me in the first little bit of Trickster Drift was this relation, because you see in the first bit, mm-hmm. the relationship between Jared and his mother Maggie, and it's fascinating because if you didn't know that they were mother and son. Because they have such a shorthand, such a banter with them, that you would think that they were peers, if you will.
Yes.
And it's that's a marvelous relationship to have at any age, I would think.
Well, their relationship continues to surprise me even as I write them.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that must be fascinating to say, grow with these characters, if you will.
Yes. I had a plan for Maggie, and Maggie veered off the plan very quickly. And she appears off stage throughout the novel.
Uh-huh.
And those were always unexpected. You know, he was supposed to just mention that he called his mother, and,
yeah.
you know, and give a bit of their backstory through the telephone call. But then it would turn, I loved the way they interacted and had to pare back some of their interaction scenes because they weren't really relative to the narrative of the story, but it was so much fun.
Yeah, and so she's come down to Vancouver to go to school.
Yes.
And so who's he left with up there? Or what's he up to, I should say?
So Jared's come down to Vancouver.
Oh, he has come down.
He's come down to Vancouver.
I see, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jared's come down to Vancouver. He's still very determined to live a normal, quiet life. And he's chosen to become a diagnostic medical sonographer.
Hmm.
So he wants to work with ultrasounds, but he didn't quite get the grades to get into the program. So he wants to upgrade at BCIT so mm-hmm. that he can get into the program at BCIT.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really come down with a big plan. So he's quite startled to find that Vancouver rents are more than he bargained for.
Oh, wow. Where have I heard that one before?
So one of the options that was floated was that he would stay with his Aunt Maeve, who has been estranged from his family for since she tried to get custody of Jared. Mm. And it was a very messy point in the family history. So he turns to her quite reluctantly.
Yeah.
And Aunt Maeve is a writer. she's a little political and a little eccentric, and she's not based on anyone.
Now, does she know about Jared, say, the spirits and the supernatural that's around him?
No, she has no gift whatsoever, so she can't detect anything. She, in fact, thinks her family is a little crazy because, you know, when they mention these things, she thinks it's just, you know,
yeah.
a holdover from a previous time.
Yeah, and so throughout the course of Trickster, I haven't finished the book yet, but throughout the book, I mean, she plays a part in whatever he gets himself into while here, right?
Yeah.
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 That character, where does she come from then?
Aunt Maeve?
Yeah.
She is a part of his mother's backstory.
Mm.
She's the Heltzik family that he doesn't know. So through her, he gets to meet a lot of cousins, you know, a great aunt, and he gets a sense of the history, the family history, and that is further explored in book 3.
I see.
Where he begins to realize that his family has dealt with the supernatural for many, many, many generations.
When you started Son of a Trickster, did you think of it that it was going to be 3 books?
No.
Yeah.
I kept tightening it and tightening it, but then I would try to flesh out a section, and it would turn into a couple of chapters.
Uh-huh.
And I had a lot more to say than I thought I did.
Yeah, and you mentioned a moment ago that whatever planning you might do, I mean, these characters take you where you might not expect them to take
mm-hmm.
you, right?
Yes.
And so what is that like? I'm assuming you sit at your desk writing. What is that like? I mean, is it an experience, I mean, a normal spiritual experience, if you will?
It is a very creative experience. Usually I'm writing early in the morning, and I'm not quite awake, and the muse wanders where the muse wants to wander. And I don't think I have enough of a filter on that early in the morning, and you know, a thread of dialogue or a thread of plot will draw me places that I, you know, hadn't been expecting. And I think that's the wonder of writing. I have a general outline of where the book is going, but it's not the destination, it's the journey. So just like travel, you know, you hit some unexpected places, and those turn out to be the highlights of your trip.
Do you have fun doing it? Because I can't tell you. I mean, I'm the same way like a lot of your readers, reading this and enjoying it so much. I mean, how's that for you?
This has been one of the most, you know, joyous experiences in writing. And I don't know if that's just age or experience or becoming more relaxed with myself and trusting the process a lot more. I was very anxious and, you know, judging, like, everything that I wrote and, you know, second-guessing. So writing was quite torturous when I was younger. It was still a passion, but it was a, you know, it was a very anxious passion. And now I seem to have come to a place where, you know, I know my process. I know what I need to do to write. And, you know, I found writing the Trickster series so much fun.
And do you write every day? Do you have a schedule?
Yes.
And that's I guess you have to, right?
Well, Trickster Drift, I wrote between 7 and 8 every day for a year.
Really?
And Son of a Trickster, I wrote between 4 and 5 in the morning every day for a year.
So you're waking up later now?
Yeah. For the Return of the Trickster, I was waking up. I was trying to write between 10 and 11, and it's not working. So I think I have to dial it back and go earlier. So I'll go back to the 7 to 8 and see how that works. Yeah.
I guess when you're on tour like you are now, I mean, do you find that you're able to write?
No, not at all. I can write short pieces. I can edit. You know, I can write little emails. But for the novel, I need like the same desk, the same computer, the same coffee mug. My muse really likes that to be consistent.
Yeah. Is it much of a stretch, Eden, to say that these books, this Trickster series, is necessary in these times that we live in?
I think the Trickster books are, you know, they handle darkness with a lot of humor. And sometimes, you know, in the news cycle, it's hard to find, you know, the light. So I think it's more of an escape from, you know, present times are a little stressful. So I think they're necessary for me. I don't know if they're necessary for the reader.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, though, I mean, find such comfort in them, because it's hilarious at times, and at the same time, you know, it's I'm reading them and I'm seeing a writer who is, you know, at their peak, and it's really great to see. I mean, Monkey Beach was a great hit in this country, and apparently I understand that they're filming it now for.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you involved in that at all?
Peripherally. I'm on tour while they're wrapping up.
I see.
I've been in and out of Kitimat during the filming. And the entire process of filming is, you know, it's not something that I don't think I would enjoy. Yeah. there's a lot of pre-production and post-production, and while you're doing it, it's like long hours.
Yeah, a lot of waiting around,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. I'm very bad at memorizing things, so I can't imagine memorizing a script.
But see, I mean, this is, you know, you're having great success, but at the same time, the material is being received so well, and what's to admire the most is that you're having fun doing it. It seems like you're having fun.
It's one of the touchstones in my life. It's a place where I go and just, you know, take some of the darker elements of my previous work and play with them in a different way.
Yeah. When does the third book come out?
Oh, my goodness, that one's going to take a bit longer. I'm still working with the muse.
Yeah. Well, long may it continue, and I'm like a lot of people in this country, congratulations on this book, and wish you well as you know, with whatever comes next. And, I mean, I'm like a lot of people. I'm in the midst of Trickster Drift now, but I'm sure when I finish it shortly, I'm going to be waiting for that third one.
Thank you.
All the best. Thanks for this.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
The book is called Trickster Drift. It's published by Knopf. Eden Robinson, its author, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver last week. I'm Joseph Planta.